Hello, this is Glenn Krause from Core CDI with another podcast for the Core CDI website. I hope that you're enjoying my recent podcast as posted on the website. I've also signed up for email for my weekly tips and notice when podcasts become available. So today we want to discuss the area that a lot of hospitals are moving into called outpatient CDI. Want to share some of my thoughts and observations and give you some areas that we'd like you to consider if you're interested or have the inclination to be rolling out and developing an outpatient CDI program or have started one to make sure you're going in the right direction. So first of all, outpatient CDI is relatively new and young to the industry, if you will. Excuse me. Unfortunately, people are jumping on the bandwagon without actually giving a lot of thought to what outpatient CDI should be. What is the vision, mission, objectives of outpatient CDI? Outpatient CDI has nothing to do with inpatient CDI. Inpatient CDI is based on identifying CCs and MCCs and solidifying principal diagnosis through the query process primarily, with less of a focus, unfortunately, on education and actually working with physicians, with a trend towards remote CDI and throwing queries at physicians without any interaction. Outpatient CDI is, to some extent, going in the wrong direction because we're focusing once again on the outcome of reimbursement. Reimbursement should be a byproduct of good, solid, effective, complete, and accurate documentation. Now, I'm not saying that HCCs are important in terms of reporting all chronic conditions with appropriate clinical specificity to ensure we get the risk adjustment factor. But however, the focus really should be on improving the quality and completeness of documentation, as I've always said. And how do you do that? Well, there's a lot of software being developed to help identify HCCs like this software in the inpatient arena to identify those cases with a high propensity for IE reimbursement improvement or opportunity for improvement, also known as reimbursement. Outpatient CDI is a people business. It's not predicated on leaving queries for diagnoses. What we should be focusing on is reviewing the record for completeness and accuracy. And let me kind of define what I mean by that. Excuse me, can't get rid of this cough here. So I want to give you a kind of a case study that I experienced at a hospital in Colorado. I was asked to review records off-site because the CFO, who's a turnaround specialist, a very smart, engaging, business-oriented, no-nonsense CEO, reached out to me and asked if I'd be interested in reviewing some E&Ms for their providers because he thought that they were undercoding. Well, I did conduct the review, and what I found was a lot more than just undercoding and potential under-documentation for E&M assignment. I saw that there was a lot of issues of medical necessity for the visit, medical necessity for services provided, which I'll go into. And a couple of observations that I want you to consider. A good starting point for outpatient CDI is to really review records for documentation, not only for E&M assignment, but to also medical necessity. Do we have good information about why the patient's being seen? Do we have a good history of present illness? These are elements of documentation improvement. Is a physical exam congruent with the history of present illness? Do we have all relevant diagnoses that are being under active management for that particular visit listed in the assessment? The other thing I found was there were a lot of issues, not only for medical necessity for the visit and under documentation for, and some other over documentation because electronic health record. What I really saw was, okay, medical necessity for the visit. Additionally, an area where we really can focus an outpatient CDI is medical necessity for the services ordered in the physician's office that are provided in the hospital. Just look at all the services that come from the hospital setting, particularly from hospital home practices, where you have a little bit potentially more control and a captive audience because they actually work for the hospital, the providers, whether they're nurse practitioners, PAs, or physicians. Looking at the documentation in these cases, as I mentioned, not only the E&M assignment, but also medical necessity for the services providers I mentioned. What do I mean by that? Okay, I see lab tests with no medical necessity. I see advanced diagnostic imaging, MRI, CT scans, stress test, nuclear medicine scans with no medical necessity, meaning there's no covered benefit. The diagnosis is not considered a covered benefit. And that puts the Medicare patient, or even all patients, regardless of the payer, in a potentially bad situation, or because they may be responsible for signing an ABN, which to me is a sign of failure of not getting good orders or solid documentation beginning in the office. And if they're a commercial payer and the payer doesn't reimburse for whatever reason related to medical necessity or no authorization, the patient can be potentially held liable for the entire cost. How to address this? Okay, when we're talking about physician orders, and the only test service that can be provided in the outpatient setting without an order is a screening mammogram. A female patient does not need an order for a screening mammogram. So everything else, PSAs, CT scans, MRIs, DEXA scans, nuclear medicine scans, CT of the head, BQ scans, ultrasound of the leg for a peripheral vascular disease, these all require an order. And it's not just the diagnosis on the order, it's the intent to order, which is found in the physician's office note. What do I mean by that? The intent to order means there's a diagnosis or symptom in the physician's documentation that can be traced back to the history of present illness to explain the doctor's rationale and clinical reasoning for ordering a test. So it's just not a diagnosis on a computerized physician order entry form. It's really the intent to order that's found in the record. And that goes back to documentation improvement. What was wrong with the patient? What brought the patient in? How did the patient look? How long has the patient had this condition and so forth, which culminates in the decision ultimately to order a test to rule in or rule out a diagnosis or provide guidance to the physician or even therapeutic services. So if I'm looking at an outpatient CDI, I want to be sure I have a record that's complete, accurate, consistent, and contextually correct, with the rationale for the order and the signs or symptoms or diagnosis listed in the encounter, with the clinical rationale and what the physician is looking for. If it's a sign or symptom, it's best that the physician give us differential diagnosis or diagnostic considerations or provisional diagnosis. We know that rule outs doesn't work in the outpatient setting. The doctors will write rule out, or the nurse practitioner PA in the computer. And of course, it gets to the hospital. Patient shows up, and then they have to either issue an ABN or hold up the patient looking for additional information. So it's all about patient satisfaction. In these cases, what I saw or was deficient is the clinical context, the facts, and the clinical information of the patient encounter, not just diagnosis. We're not just looking for HCCs. We want to look, okay, what does it say about HCCs? Must be monitored, evaluated, assessed, and treated. And that's not a well-defined, no one has actually defined what defines meat, quote-unquote. In my mind, meat is having the right documentation for the right reason with the right clinical judgment and medical decision-making with the right provisional diagnosis with a plan of care that's rational for the assessment. That's what I call complete and accurate documentation. So really, if you're interested in outpatient CDI, the mission should be to improve the capture, reflection, describing, showing, telling, and depicting of the patient's story, beginning with the chief complaint, history of present illness, physical exam congruent with the nature of the presenting problem and the physician's clinical judgment, and an assessment that includes all definitive and provisional diagnosis, explaining the reason for the encounter. What is the doctor thinking? Why is the doctor thinking? Where is he going and why? What's he going to do when he gets there? And making sure the record is tied all together. Is it a roadmap? Do I have a chief complaint? Do I know where the brought the patient in? Do I know where the patient is now? Where is the doctor thinking, as I mentioned? And where is he going and why? And at least some clinical information to support the reason, clinical rationale and reason for the test. And tying that all together, we're going to look at the chart and see whether it meets the requirements of an evaluation management. Now, Medicare is just in the final rule for last week, first week in November, highlighted some initiatives to reduce the burden of documentation. So I encourage you to read that, to read the final rule. It's on the Federal Register, and keep abreast of what's happening. So think about an E&M. I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts. Think of an E&M as exchange of clinically reasonable and necessary information and the use of the information in the management of the patient. Okay, that's what an E&M is, not from a coding standpoint, from a clinical perspective. So I encourage you, when you're developing your outpatient CDI programs, to be thinking, okay, first, what's our mission? Our mission is to improve and enhance the communication of patient care through efforts at educating our physicians and sharing with physicians best practice standards and principles of documentation, including the elements of a E&M, not from a billing perspective, but from a documentation and communication perspective. Remember that it's not only about the HCCs. It's about the clinical information context, facts. Is it contextually correct information in the record? Does the record tell a patient's story so any outside reviewer, any physician assuming care, if that physician is on vacation or leaves the practice, is able to pick up where the last physician left off? And do we have all the relevant diagnosis for that patient encounter with appropriate specificity? And at the end of the day, we have a solid and complete record with the appropriate and confidently assigned E&M with the clinical intent for ordering of tests and why, and any additional workup that's planned. So when the patient comes back, it's very clear where the doctor was thinking when the patient first came for that visit. And in follow-up, it indicates where the doctor left off and where the patient and the physician are going. So this, to me, is outpatient CDI. Now, for those people who attended the ACTIS Outpatient CDI Symposium in Florida the first week of November, I'm hoping that some of the speakers presented the same concepts or ideas for CDI and didn't necessarily focus primarily on reimbursement. So that's what my message is today for outpatient CDI. Be sure to sign up for my listserv for emails of blogs, weekly article tips on documentation and podcast. That's core-cdi.com, and I appreciate your continued support. Thank you very much.